All right, here we go. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jonathan Starkey, a.k.a. Abflab or Slobber the Slut.
He's getting more like describing himself more apt at the moment, to be quite honest.
Shut up, Princess Dreary. Shut up, Princess Dreary.
Okay. This is going well.
Okay. Statsman, introduce yourself and say hello, Mr. Mark Hartley.
Yo, I think you've just done that for me, so I'll just say hello to our lovely listeners.
He does that with everybody. He talks for them. He won't give anybody a chance.
That's not true. Shut up, Steve.
Says the one interrupting.
Yeah. And we have that fabulous man, the Gazelle. Say hello, sir.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and any other person that may be listening.
Any other person. That's right, Mr. Trevor Nichols. And, of course, we're going to have to introduce him. We're just going to say, Steve, no, shut up. Muted. Go ahead. Say hello.
I'm just going to say hello to our fabulous listeners from across Cheshire and the rest of the world. Hope you're having a great week. Say Happy New Year again, because we'll keep it going. We'll keep it going. And I'm just going to give an early little shout out this week, a special little announcement. An early announcement on a shout-out to Mr. Mark Hartley for his fabulous, absolutely fabulous impression of Roy off Coronation Street this week.
Don't stand for that, Roy. Sorry, Mark.
Yeah, this is only in his head.
That tiny space, you know, that tiny space between his two ears. I know his head looks big, but the space is, like, sort of quite tiny, really. But there you go. Right, okay, let's move on quickly to the roundup. All right, now, we were talking about the post office scandal last week. Now, does everybody know that Fujitsu has won more than 150 government contracts since the Horizon scandal?
Yes, I've been seeing details on this. It's quite shocking, to be honest, and I think this is going to be a further growing problem for the government to be able to justify continuance of this, given the furore that's going on.
Oh, has anybody been watching any of the inquiry interviews with the people?
I've been listening to it on the radio.
Well, I have to tell you, it's actually quite nail-biting at certain points. The people that are doing the inquiries, you know, the barristers, they are like prosecution barristers. There's no two ways about it. And the way that they ask the questions, it frightens the people that are actually there. You know, and they do have the ability to actually stand back and not answer anything if they think they're going to incriminate themselves.
Yeah, they have lawyers on the side, don't they, to tell them not to answer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Mark.
It seems to be we're getting drip, drip, drip more information still after all these years. Because last week we were unsure what the CPS's role in it. Well, it's quite a big role, actually, wasn't it?
Because
how many was it? 40-something cases they took on?
Yeah.
Every day we're finding out more stuff. It's not good, really, is it?
Well, it's going to involve so many people. And I know that Ed Davey has taken quite a bashing. And I know that there's a sub-postmistress who is actually standing against him in the next election.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Yeah, maybe this is the start of a fight back, even a mini one.
A mini fight back?
Yeah.
From the subs?
Well, it's upset someone enough for them to stand against them. Oh, and this is what we've been calling for years, isn't it? Indeed. Fight back, come on.
Indeed. We can see the Raven there with his pen out. He's waving it like a Viking sword.
So irritating.
Is it his pen? Really, it's a very small pen. Is that your Viking sword, sir?
That's not his pen.
Be quiet. I just want to ask a question. I've read a report, if it's correct, that allegedly some of these people who were investigating these people were on, is it correct, they were on bonuses?
Yep. Yes.
To get prosecutions.
Absolutely. Now,
in my view, this is completely wrong if this is the case, because surely a prosecution, if somebody's done something wrong or not, whichever the case may be, that should be on the basis of evidence and truth rather than people receiving financial enhancements. So what sort of a country have we arrived at for this to be taking place?
Well,
if this is the case.
If you listen to some of those interviews that are going on, there's a lot of excuses being made, and I can't remember that because it's 20 years ago. A lot of those excuses. And some of the post office employees can't remember signing certain documents that were actually going into court as witness statements. And when it gets to that point, you suddenly start thinking, hang on, what the hell's going on? And it shows up the soft underbelly of what is totally and utterly wrong with this country. And I'll say it again. There is so much bad and evil. And the question I have to ask is, why does it take so long to get any form of justice in this country? Go ahead, Mark.
Normally, so the people responsible can disappear off That's into right. the horizon.
Yeah, yeah, it's created that way, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, which you've only got to take, I mean, another one of the stories in the roundup, the Rochdale grooming gangs. I mean, that's Second a prime example. They're still preying on girls. A whistleblower warns that 96 men still pose a risk to children as damning report reveals police left victims at the mercy of pimps and abusers who impregnated and threatened them with guns. That was taken from
so
a story.
So local young people are still at risk because of failure within the local council and police?
Well, yeah, it's the GMP, isn't it? Go ahead, Mark.
And it'll carry on if we keep importing this way of thinking and acting. Ah. It's that simple.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, but shoot the messenger, but...
Did anybody see Andy Burnham come on and apologise? And he called them young women, not girls. Is it an 11-year-old girl a young woman? No.
No.
It's a girl.
Well, he's toning it down to make it sound less worse than what it really is. I find that appalling.
And I'll stand in the cowpat Burnham.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing that prevented justice in the first place.
Yeah,
by
yeah.
making out that these underage children were in prostitution.
Yeah.
You know, that's one way of looking at it, but it's either way, that is rape.
Again, if you look at, you know, out of all of them, Rotherham, Rochdale, all Labour-run councils, and guess who is basically stymieing all the information? It's just wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. And Labour don't want this coming out. So we're just going to reiterate it and you're just going to say, this all happened under a Labour watch and Labour councils. Bad news. Very bad
they
news.
Can't, they can't say anything, can they? Because
it's a
big chunk of their voting block, isn't it? But well, in that community, it's happening. So,
well, no.
Pretend it's not.
No, you've got to say what it is. Just turn around to him and say to him, you're scum. Get out. Get out. You're scum. We don't want you. All right? And here's another bunch of scum that we don't want. And this is a story from Andrew Neil. As Iran-backed Houthi terror in the Red Sea forces Britain and America into military action. This is how the Ayatollahs are fomenting atrocities and instability everywhere and threatening conflagration across the globe. Now, he loves using big words like that, doesn't he? Does Andrew? But they're out there. And I've no doubt that we're going to be revisiting this as a national, but I just put this in as a quick insert because it's wrong what's going on. And you can see it. But we'll talk more about that in a while. Okay. And this next story. The world according to Gary Lineker. Have we got any comments on that? That clown. What a clown that man is.
What's he up to now?
Well, he's doing so many different things from attacking the migrant policy, slamming Brexit, ridiculing the Tories, and now calling for Israel to be punished by FIFA.
Ooh, I bet you Israel are absolutely terrified while they're fighting absolute maniac jihadists. Oh, poor Israel.
Who the hell does that guy think he is?
Just ignore him like I do. He's irrelevant.
I just, you know, people...
No, we're not irrelevant. It's a big grey thing with big ears, isn't it?
Just don't give him any oxygen. He wants the oxygen. Just cut the feed off and then, bye, Gary.
Well, what I'd do, I'd encourage him to stand for a Labour town somewhere.
With Gary
like,
Neville. You know,
like we did with the, yeah, like we did with the Eddie yeah. Izzard. Just let him stand and get nowhere and then you'll not hear of him again.
Well, it's gone quiet about Eddie Izzard, hasn't it? It really
Good
has.
Idea.
Why didn't he just stick to acting?
Trevor's right, let them. Let it play out. Let them do what they want to do and watch what happens.
Well,
anyway, chaps, what's your view on the likely government to be had at the end of the year?
Well, To be honest with you, that's not part of the roundup yet. So shut up and stop trying
I'm
to take
over.
I'm
just asking a question.
Well, we don't care.
We're all over the place.
No one cares.
What sort of an answer is that? We don't care.
Right,
well, what
first
are we
mute.
Doing this for?
Mute.
Let you know, Steve, when the government is voted in.
Yeah, okay. We were talking about Gary Lineker before you nipped off to empty your bladder. We know what you were doing. We heard it in the background. I'm going to record it. Stop taking your microphone with you when you go to the toilet.
Listen.
I could hear it. It was tinkle, tinkle, little star. Oh, I wonder how you are.
Don't cut me off again tonight. I'll be gone. I won't come back on tonight.
We'll do it.
Okay, last of the roundup, and here it is.
You're still on this?
Donald Trump lavishes praise on handsome guy Nigel Farage. After the UKIP, ex-UKIP leader attends the ex-president's campaign speech in Iowa. What do you think of that?
Handsome guy.
I know, handsome guy. I can't work that one
out. Wow, Donald.
Well, I know what handsome means. I am the official pinup of Cheshire Matters, as we all know.
God, you must have the same glasses as Trump.
I don't know why they're focusing over there at Nigel Farage. He's a bit of a... He's all right bloke, you know. We've been involved, but at the end of the day, he's behind me in that department, that's for sure.
How old do you think Donald Trump is?
I don't know, but I reckon we should have a vote. Who's the better looking, Nigel Farage or Steve? Right, fingers and hands in the air for Nigel Farage. Oh, dear. Okay, we don't need to vote on Steve. It's unanimous.
Unanimous. Even Steve voted for him.
I sorted that one out.
Even Steve voted for him.
Yeah, well, mine was a different kind of vote.
Donald Trump is 77 years old.
I thought it was about that, actually. Correct. About 77.
I knew he was 77.
Okay. And how old do you think Nigel Farage is?
59.
That's right.
62. No. Oh, is he 59?
59, wow, spot on.
He's not wearing as well as me, that's for sure then.
59.
I can't believe the arrogance of that man. No, but apparently, you know, they all liked him. Simple
I
as
must
that.
Tend to add that what was there is one of these other polls out. There's about a million polls out at the minute, but one of the polls it's got Reform UK's. You know, I'm standing for Warrington North.
Of course, get that in.
We've not heard that before. When did this come about?
You know, I only decided over Christmas, Steve, and I'll just let it out now.
Right.
Yeah. So they were running about, I think it was 10% in four polls and 11% in a couple of polls. And the general census is that if Nigel Farage decided to come out of the closet, hide in, and take over the finger, over the party, it would go to a minimum of 15%.
Ooh.
Can't see him coming back, to be honest, but there you go.
Oh, I don't know. Don't know.
It could be. Right, well, okay, that's the end of the roundup, and let's move on. And the main story tonight is obviously the Yemeni Houthi-Booty. Fruity tooty problems that are going on and in the Red Sea. And just a little bit of background there for Stats, because Stats is going to lead on this one. Did you hear that, Steve? That was a big hint. Stats is going to lead on this one. Can you hear me, Steve?
Yes, I can. I'm just wondering if you're actually going to let him speak right the way through without interrupting him, because that's why the rest of us are being quiet. So monitor yourself.
The Houthi rebels, they are Shia Muslims, and they took control of Yemen's capital, Sana'a, in 2014, leading to the displacement of the internationally recognized government. In response, a coalition led by Saudi Arabia and supported by the United States began military operations against the Houthis with the goal of restoring the Yemeni government. The U.S. involvement in the conflict includes providing logistical and intelligence support to the Saudi-led coalition. Now, this is what happened, and this is like sort of a lead-up to what's going on, so give you an idea. So there were problems with Yemeni and the U.S. government before. So it's bad news, really. It's such a big mix of different things going on over there. Go ahead, Stats.
I'll follow on from what you said. Yeah, the Islamic Shia movement, they're actually called Ansar Allah, which is supporters of God. So that tells you everything you need to know, what their agenda is. And recently they've actually been claiming they've been attacking shipping destined for Israel until the Gaza war stops. They've actually used missiles and drones to attack Israel and shipping in the Red Sea. But unfortunately for them, more recently, they've started to fight back against our Navy and the US Navy, who were deployed to intercept these attacks. To be honest, I think this was inevitable because of what's been going on recently with them. And if the locals aren't prepared to stop them, then I suppose someone's got to. Because it'll never end, will it? And that someone normally seems to be us. And I think that's because other people are either unwilling or unable to do it. Now, I've got several concerns with this. I'm worried about how war's actually being influenced by snowflakes. Now, I don't actually condone war. I'll state that. I'd love there to never be a war again, but that isn't how war works. It seems at the minute we just seem to throw our expensive weapons at people and bomb them from the air. But that never seems to stop them. It just seems to encourage them to fight harder. Now, I've noticed in the media this buzzword pops up every time there's a war. Is it a proportionate response? What does that actually mean? Because even Piers Morgan, he repeatedly asks people what's proportionate. But then when they ask him back, he doesn't seem to know it either. So in theory, we've got people saying, don't kill too many people. But when asked, they say, well, I don't know how many, but however many it is, it's too many, basically. That's not how a war's won. You don't kill the same amount of the enemy. And the one who has the least deaths doesn't win. It's just bizarre. And again, if you don't hold and seize the ground, the enemy recover and fight another day.
Yeah,
these jihadists, right, John, they don't quit because we've got expensive equipment. I follow their religious scripture to the letter.
Let's just tell any listeners or the listener the reason why Yemen are actually attacking, you know, the shipping. It's because they're coming out in sympathy with Palestine.
Yeah, that's what I said before. Yeah. Apparently they're going to stop when the war in Gaza stops. But they won't, because as I said, they're following their religious scripture to the letter, and they don't normally back down. And this normally results in escalation, I'm afraid, because their ideology is a massive factor. With ideology, it makes people fight, even when everything's lost, because to them, it's the right thing to do. And with these guys, regardless of death, because they actually want to be killed and become martyrs. So my first question is, how do you combat that without wiping every jihadi out and erasing all their scripture? And that's why the West's been battling with Islam for hundreds of years. It's the same principle, but this is just a different conflict. It just looks like a different conflict.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
In my opinion, John, it'll drag on forever. They've been bombing Yemen for a good part of 9 years, and that hasn't stopped them. You're not going to finish this until they're totally wiped out, and those like Iran are sending them weapons. So in my opinion, this is just a vicious circle. But at the same time, you can't let them continue.
No.
But bombing them is going to escalate the matter. But in my opinion, they know this.
Yeah.
So they're encouraging it to kick off. It's like, for instance, you don't go up to the toughest kid in the school, do you, and stamp on his toe and expect nothing to happen.
Correct.
All hell's going to break loose.
Go ahead. Trevor, what's your view, sir?
Yeah, as Mark said, they're escalation. And on a serious note, I mean, if this all kicks off, basically, you know, in the Middle East, God help us all, that's all I can say. You've got the Hooty Tooties. You've got the Rumpy Pumpies, the Grumpy Grumpies, and God knows what happens if the Umpa Lumpas start joining in, that's it. We're looking at, you know, the final world war, aren't we?
Yes.
That lot joining.
Iran is now the target. You know, they've been picking a fight for so long. It appears that everybody is starting to look at them. And the Americans couldn't be out there and doing what they're doing without the Saudis. So the Saudis are not, they're not in favor of Iran. They're not in favor of them. So they're actually helping the West. So, and they're not taking in any of the Palestinians. They're not interested. I mean, people don't really understand the history that's gone on behind there in the Middle East, because when the Palestinians, remember Yasser Arafat? I mean, that guy was bad news to those people, bad news. And they were attacking their own people. They were attacking their own religion. They were killing lots of people out there and stealing from them and blah, 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 blah. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I don't know whether anybody heard or saw it being televised today, the speech today by Grant Shapps talking about defence. And if you pieced together the whole of the rhetoric taking place, he mentioned a number of things, and he was talking about the fact that the country and peace is being threatened in a number of areas. He mentioned the Ukraine and Russia, and that we're going backwards since, you know, the Berlin Wall and various other things. But he also mentioned a couple of things, actually, which I found quite interesting and also very alarming, because I think the rhetoric that was put out today, in my view, was a means to soften the blow to the British public that when things potentially do get initiated in some capacity, they have already been preempted with the information, if you like. So what he mentioned Ukraine and Russia. He also mentioned the Houthi response, and there was a discussion as to whether there would be further responses. He also intimated that...
What are they going to do? Are they going to dance around another Israeli flag again? You know, to
1 second. He also indicated that there was going to be a great deal more spending into UK defence, and there were questions on the Navy, and there was questions on our sort of missile response capability. So the whole narrative that was being put out today was the fact that, you know, the message to the British public was that things are quite dire in a number of areas, and there was a necessary need to start massively putting money into our military capability. And also, there was an indication later this year that 20,000 UK military personnel will be involved in a NATO exercise. Now, when exactly, I don't know. And it does beg the question, overall, when you look at the state of Ukraine and Russia situation, which seems to be rumbling on, the Middle East, which now concerns me greatly, because I don't know where this is heading. Everything seems to be shifting. There's a lot of political maneuvering.
I'm not going to edit that.
I don't doubt that for a minute. There's a lot of political maneuvering taking place. And if you add all this together, you can see the jigsaw taking place, shaping now, right before our eyes. It doesn't sit well with me at all in terms of what was put out today. I think it's very concerning. And so I think...
You think he's prepping for the British public for a war?
I think today, if people have not woken up to the narrative and the overall message that was put out by the Defence Minister today in that speech, I think this country is asleep.
Okay, let's go.
Concerning.
Let's go over to stats and let him come in on that one. And then we got the gazelle coming in. Do we want war stats?
Yes. Not really. I think because we're now we're in charge of NATO's rapid response force, I think he's flexing his muscles, which is actually dangerous at the minute with these conflicts going on, especially with Russia. If that escalates, we've got a problem. But while we're on concerns, another one. Now, it's the immigration from the countries that we're actually attacking these days. This is what worries me the most, because we don't have control over who we're bombing or the fact that the government are letting people in from these countries.
Oh, and they've already said, I mean, how many people have seen the videos of these people saying they're going to stand first with Allah and secondly with Islam? So they're going to be supporting their Islamic brothers rather than what's going on. And you can see that in this country. Go ahead, Stats.
Well, we've seen it already, because we've took refugees from Iraq, Syria, Libya and Afghanistan before. Now, some might be valid refugees fleeing wars, but some of these people in these countries actually despise our country and our politicians for what they've done.
Absolutely.
And then it's the general public that suffer. I mean, even when one of their own's brutally murdered, they don't stop. If anything, they just go harder. It's us who has to deal with the backlash. Now, so you can't be what Britain like to be and be the world's police while you're letting people come to your country from the countries you're literally attacking. It's a recipe for disaster, as we found out with the Manchester Arena and all these other terrorist attacks.
Yeah.
And I've got one more concern, but I think Steve's keen to come in. But
no, it's not Steve.
That to me,
it's Gazelle.
Sorry, Trevor. Sorry. Yeah, that to me is a big problem. You're attacking countries and then letting them people just flood into ours, and that really is a recipe for total disaster.
It's bad news.
We've already seen, but they don't listen.
It's a even recipe for disaster. Go ahead.
It's a recipe we've tasted and we've smelt already, but, you know.
Go ahead, Gazelle.
Totally agree with you there, Mark. Totally agree with you. Now, first of all, this one's to Steve. I wouldn't worry too much about schnapps, because he's not going to be there for long, is he? He's had more jobs.
No.
Than God knows anybody I can ever remember in the government. Yeah. He'd be lucky to last this one out to the election, so he'll end up with another job somewhere, so I won't worry about him. And all this lot has been likened to, remember the last time we had a war, a big war, I mean, the Falklands?
Yeah.
When the Conservatives were really, really in trouble. And they said the other day, oh, no, it's nothing to do with that. That doesn't affect anything. We really needed to deal with the Hooty Tooties. And it's as Steve said, now he's concerned about it happening. Can we not see history repeating itself there with Margaret Thatcher when she went to the Falklands, when she was losing that, she was losing it good style?
Yeah.
But Trevor,
turned it all around.
At least we did war properly then.
Yeah.
We actually went and won the war. This is pathetic. They still carried on. So America have had to bomb them again and it'll still carry on.
Yeah, well, so it's not going to happen, is it?
Unless you get in on the ground and sort it out, which I really don't want, but that's the only way to do it.
No,
jihadis aren't giving up.
What doesn't concern me is Grant Shapps. It doesn't matter if it's him or somebody else. They're merely puppets in the game. Yeah. And if it's him or somebody else who's told to put out a particular narrative, then they will do exactly that. The fact of the matter is, listening to that whole speech today was not good.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid to say I'm very uncomfortable with the way things are developing. I have to go back on one particular point, actually. Well, two. First of all,
or three, or four.
What Mark has said, which
or
is
11.
The fact that we're talking about national security. We've covered this many times in the past about the fact, and we've said it in the past, if this country did ever find itself in an unfortunate situation of being in conflict again, then unfortunately we've got the other added problem of not knowing who is on side within the country, having had open doors for decades. So that's a big issue.
Well, we could be fighting a war on two fronts. If America does a preemptive strike in conjunction with the UK, which is usually the way, there is some form of a preemptive strike to open things up. And from that preemptive strike, they're giving an option that you either back down now or we're going to continue.
That's it. But the point is as well, John, the fact, you know, we've said this for a long time. We're now in a very precarious position. But also the other thing that we've stated a number of times is the fact that our military have been underinvested. Oh, and yeah, the numbers in all three main military services have been plummeted for a very long time. Now, if there's a problem, then we have that added problem. And they were also talking on the programme today in a debate afterwards. So there were some of the questions going back and forth after Grant Shapps' speech today. And one of the sort of issues raised was that recruitment in all the services is a massive problem. So it does raise the question, this is merely theoretical sort of hypothesis, would they bring in conscription? Because yeah, people are joining the forces. We've had underinvestment.
Okay.
We've had political meandering and dilly-dallying for hell knows how long, and we've had national security compromised by open-door borders. So the politicians in this country have failed the people.
That's it.
Decades.
Well, in that case then, perfect. Okay, get the cannon fodder, all the illegal migrants, get them into the army, get them forced, and then send them over. They can be the feet on the ground, destroying their other brothers. Go ahead. Go on, Mark.
Yeah, not only are they being depleted, they're being undermined by the opposition. So you've got politicians now using this to attack the government. Why they didn't get to vote on this. Right, I'm going to say this again for these stupid people. We're a constitutional monarchy. The Bill of Rights states the monarch still holds all the powers and prerogatives they did before the Glorious Revolution. They're just bound by the law. Parliament's not sovereign. The government are the king's government, and they don't need permission from them people in Parliament. And stupidly, that would actually give the enemy a bit of notice of what's coming. That's absolutely ludicrous. Another reason that wet wipes shouldn't be in control of wars.
Yeah.
It's pathetic, and it's another example of how not to fight a battle. It's just ridiculous. This is them Parliament trying to steal power.
Yep.
No, that's not what the Constitution says, but none of them read it, so they wouldn't know, would they?
Oh, we're all talking about communist elements within our parliamentary system.
Steve, you can't give the enemy 2 weeks' notice. Oh, by the way, correct, boys, we're coming to bomb you, so then you move everything. Well, brilliant. Nice one.
Let's just backtrack on that one a little bit, because if they are thinking of actually taking out Iran, they have to do it in conjunction with Saudi and the other Arab states, Jordan, forget about Lebanon, but they have to do it in conjunction with those other states, and they've got to find the money. So all the big money people in the world and the big banks will say, yeah, we'll bankroll it. As soon as they give that okay, that's it. They'll go for it. And as far as I'm concerned, yeah, get the Middle East back into line.
Yeah, but don't tell them we're coming before we come. I mean, a larger war would be obvious because of the build-up, but when you're going to do a targeted strike on someone in the dead of night so they don't see your missiles, right? You don't tell them a week before they're coming, because what would you do if you had the massive drone factory that's supplying all the drones? Well, you'd move it somewhere and just pretend it was still there.
Yeah, yeah.
While it was dark and no one would see exactly. It's just pathetic. But basically, it's Parliament trying to wrestle power. It's not theirs, it's ours.
Okay, well, let's sum up. Go ahead, Gazelle.
Yeah, I mean, very, very rare this happens, but I slightly disagree with Stats on that one. I think you should give at least 1 to 2 weeks notice on any bombing raids, because I trade oil. And as soon as that that raid went in the other night, my oil, I was actually selling oil, and it went up 4%. So I think everybody should have about a week's notice at least.
Well, the traders will be on it within milliseconds.
Mate, the people who were trading on it will know before the people were bombed.
Oh, yeah. They're all
wrong. Of course they will. Wrong, I'll tell you.
And they'll be shorting on certain things and investing in others. I don't know. To sum up, do you think there's going to be war with Iran?
With Iran,
I think it's a strong possibility.
America's been touting it for over a month now, over 4 weeks.
Okay.
Wow.
If you listen to different news channels, they keep spouting about Iran. Iran are feeding Hezbollah. Iran are feeding
Houthis.
The Houthi-Tutis, and then they're also feeding Palestine.
Yep.
Hamas. So the Americans have already, they've primed everything, and now they've started to move in. They've bombed the Houthis, and now they'll bomb Iran next.
And they'll be operating from Saudi air bases and you name it.
Yes.
They've got everything all cooking over there. Go ahead, Stats, final.
Remember the list of countries that someone exposed America was going to invade?
Yeah.
And I think there was only two left, Somalia and Iran. So yeah, now seven. Trump's out the way. Let's knock on to number six, eh?
Well, they've still got all the Shah's sons from the former Shah of Iran living in America. So they've got a monarchy straight away to put back in. So, da-da. I wonder, did The Simpsons foretell that one?
Yeah, and it's all about oil.
Yep. Well, no, let's get rid of the one major problem is, a final point, is if there was a war started with Iran, who is the funder of all these different things, these people in this country, if they do anything, it'll give an excuse for this country to say, that's it, goodbye, you know, you're fodder. Don't. You either stand with this country or you disappear. So there you go. All right, okay. Let's move on. And this is...
I'll be seeing you.
So you're going, yeah? All right, this is The Locals Tonight. And Stats picked these ones out, and there are three of them from Cheshire East. And let's go. Let's go with the first one, which is Cheshire East Council falling short of 4 million on the green bin target.
Chicken feed.
Has you been man, bin man? Has you been man, bin man?
Hey, they have actually.
Have they?
Yeah, they have actually.
Has your back passage been cleared? Have you managed to trim it?
No. They don't touch my back patties, sir.
So your bin has been remedied, has it, Trevor?
Well, my bin has been remedied, and my blue bin is gone, and my my black bin is gone. They've emptied them. They don't empty the green bin because I will not pay, and I will never pay for a green bin. Well, that goes into my rancid back passage and rot.
Cheshire East are going to fail to rake in the $4 million it hoped from its garden waste collections because less than 2/3 of the number of residents needed have so far subscribed to the service.
There you well go. Done.
Go ahead, Mark.
Well done, people. People power.
I was just about to say 2/3 of Cheshire East are following you, Trevor, not paying it.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
It's only £3 more, but I think everyone's now just like, no, because you pay the £3 more and this never stops.
And it's
like
else,
these Middle East wars, else, isn't it? They're never going to end, are they?
It's £59 on top of your poll tax.
Yep.
Shocking.
Well, Councillor Mick Warren, and it doesn't look, he hasn't got a lot of hair to pull out, but it looks like he's pulling his hair out because he's the head of Cheshire East's Environment and Communities Committee. And he remains hopeful, do you reckon?
Wow, he must be earning some money for that title.
Wait, who's the patron saint of lost causes?
Is that another word for deluded?
Russ Bowden.
Rusty nail, I was going to
tell you. Go ahead, Mark, go ahead.
I was going to say it's ironic, isn't it, really, because they're also having trouble in other areas, so they're actually going to revise grass cutting. While the council stop cutting the grass, you're expected to pay more to get rid of your grass cuttings, yeah. Are we playing these games again, are we? That's quite hilarious, actually.
You're going to be able to hide in the grass? It's going to get that long?
There's a lot of irony goes on in the world now, I think, as well.
It's just clown world, Steve. None of them have got a clue what day it is anymore. I think that's why we just have such fun with them.
Talking of irony, I've got to tell you this quick little thing. In Chester, right, the Chester Conservative Party's premises, I don't know how long they've been there. They've been there for many, many, many decades, you know, and had this premises. Apparently, it's this union building or whatever it is in Chester. I believe it's now being sold off, and it's going to be, allegedly, applications are going in for it to be apartments. Wouldn't it be ironic if it was ended up being filled by illegal migrants?
From Yemen.
I'm watching it. I can't wait. We'll see.
Okay, well, getting back to the subject matter, Cheshire East are also thinking, because even if you let your grass grow and then you cut it yourself, you might not have nowhere to take it because they're actually going to close tips. Three tips are going to close this year. So where are you going to take your grass cuttings? If you cut it yourself and you don't put it in a green bin.
Anyway, you don't even need a green bin. If you're mulching, chop it up small, not go back in the garden. It's a load of rubbish, this nonsense, to be honest.
And don't forget.
Yeah, that's that, I get it. See what you did.
Load of rubbish. Yeah. I know. I got it.
I get that.
They've also raised the council tax by 4.99%.
Yeah, but this tax, green bin tax, is on top of that, though.
Welcome to Warrington.
So that's another sneaky little... And where's the referendums? Oh, the government are like, nah, scrap democracy this week. We need some more money. I tell you what, scrap it again and just keep sticking these little add-ons on. Everyone's fed up now.
I tell you what. Let's deal with the migrant problems. Let's deal with the migrant problems. It gives us £4 billion a year.
Cut loads of grass with that.
You don't have to think about that, Trevor. That's too logical.
Yeah, that's. I mean, let's deal with that.
What, the redirect money that is being wasted to stuff that's a priority?
£6 million. Well, it's £8 million a day, right? So that's only 5 days, and you've covered the budget in Chester.
Do you not want to take the Michael out of Cheshire East and their plans and what they're doing?
Yeah, let's leave it as it is.
Yeah. No, because... Right.
But these baboons, I mean, have you not seen them, right? I've been in Chester quite regular, and you see there's just loads of red bums around the town centre. Now, these are the councillors.
Load of red what?
Red bums.
Red bums, red bottoms. Right. I see them. They've sat on the walls. They just sat down by the D.
Have you got a red bun, mum?
Yeah, and there's loads of red bums. Well, they're the councillors, see, because they're all baboons. It's like going to Gibraltar, right?
That's what a council meeting's like, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's like going to Gibraltar. It's full of baboons, red bums everywhere, right? And they're all voting now. They're voting to... We've not got our quota of green bins. So I'll tell you what, let's put it up. right? And what we'll do, we're going to shut all the tips, so they've got to put it in the green bin.
Well, yeah. They're going to try and keep it to four core sites at Alsager, Crewe, Knutsford and Macclesfield.
Now, on this, they're expecting to save £750,000, right? I'm scratching my nuts like a baboon, right? Because that's going to be dwarfed. If you get the fly tipping, I know this in Warrington, if you get the fly tipping, you look at 1.7 million to cover the fly tipping.
Yeah.
So they're saving 750,000 by closing three tips and creating 1.5 million in extra costs.
And then top that
is
up.
Red bum then. I've just seen another red bum. It come past my window. It must be a councillor.
Top it up. And this is the triple. They're going to also, protesters are going to be asking the council to rethink plans to introduce parking charges in certain areas. What are they going to charge parking charges at those waste sites? You know, while you wait, pay while you wait. What are they going to do? They're nuts. They are absolutely nuts. I mean, you could think of so many different things that could cause problems for them. You
know, welcome to Warrington.
Yeah, it is.
These are the same socialist councils everywhere that are sort of banging on about people having to struggle with the cost of living, using food banks, can't afford to pay gas and electric. And then they keep banging extra costs onto their council tax. Mm. I mean, I'm just wondering, do they live in two separate worlds? Or I don't know what's going on.
We all know what some of the problems are, because if they introduce car parking charges into certain areas, then those people who normally use that car park will stop using that car park and move somewhere else, which will then actually cause problems, congestion in other areas of the town. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, what about staff who need to leave multiple times and return to the car parks? They could be forced to pay on each return. Look, it's another thing like we did last week with Warrington Council, where we're cutting carbon. We're not really. Well, we're going to save some money here.
It's going to introduce a terminal decline within Cheshire East at the shops and stuff like that.
I'd say we're seeing the early signs of the cracks appearing in some councils. We've got the ones that are obviously in debt, but that's got to start somewhere, hasn't it?
Yep.
With these little losses and these little things, and I think we might be witnessing it now.
It's
not their fault. They just blame a Tory government, and then they get elected, and they've got to take 13
years. But they might actually have a war. And I'm going to go to the Gazelle after this, but they might introduce a war so that the election is delayed. Purposely delayed while they actually deal with this war. And then
there's more to that than you realise.
All the councils will start introducing these new charges and new things that you've got to do right under your noses. Go ahead, Gazelle.
Yeah, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I was in a hustings with Rusty and Hale many years ago, and one of the questions that was asked is, how can we regenerate Warrington Town Centre? I said, well, you can stop charging for the car parks to start with, because anybody that knows the area comes out of Penketh and they turn right to Widnes. They won't turn left going into Warrington because they've got to pay for the car park, which is up to like £3 to £4 for three hours.
Yep.
So they just go to Widnes where it's completely free. Yep. They shop in Widnes, they spend in Widnes, and Warrington declines. And now it's the dirtiest, scruffiest town centre I've ever come across.
The one thing I will say about that coming into Warrington, it's
on top of that, you've got Fiddler's Ferry towers that have been knocked down the other week.
Yeah.
And everybody said, oh, is that going to be the new site for the hospital? Oh, is that going to be something else? Oh, is that just, well, we just announced anyway, there's 740 houses going on there at the moment.
Well, that'll help ease all the congestion greatly.
Yeah,
of course it will, yeah.
Go ahead, Mark.
I forgot about this one. We were just saying they were blaming the government for funding, but just while we were having our break on Christmas, Lord Morse, chair of the Office for Local Government, he dismissed the idea that the worrying number of effectively bankrupt town halls was down to a shortage of money. He insisted it was quite definitive that failures in management or failures in governance were behind the cases that had emerged so far. He's obviously got some evidence to back that up. I'd like to see it. But that's a big claim.
Yeah.
We've been saying this for years, haven't we? It's just austerity. Well, austerity was over a long time ago. What are you talking about?
Well, they keep
it's assumed, isn't it, that there is an endless bottomless pit.
Well, they've also got to use that bottomless pit to pay their wages and their salaries and increase salaries. I mean, you know, it'll get to the point where the cleaners are actually on $70,000 a year. It's bad news.
I think the cleaners would have something to say with you saying that. I don't think that's going to be
I don't care.
I think one thing that does need looking at out of a point of interest is the amount of money that's spent on council buildings, refurbishment, and expensive, very expensive equipment that goes into them.
What, the desks and the chairs?
It's huge.
But, Steve, we keep talking, we have done for years, of council opening new buildings and offices that they then never really use, and then they get sold for what?
Peanuts.
Housing and stuff? Well, that's the idea. So, I mean, ineffectively, they're kind of just buying houses. Not quite directly doing it. They might as well just go and buy. Just go and buy the houses. Don't buy yourself a new office because you never used them.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Warrington regeneration of Times Square and all that area was 173 million. There's been freedom of information's gone out. How much did the new council offices that are there? How much did they cost? And they said they can't calculate that because it was all in the cost.
169 million.
Well, somebody calculated it. You don't easy whizzy, let's get busy, and a block of flats turns up.
No. Quite true.
Well, it could indicate why the £1.8 billion in debt, Trevor, if they don't know how much to spend it.
I'm rising.
Correct.
Yep. Well, here we go. Time flies when you're enjoying yourself. Stevie, get to the bar.
Because, as I said, everything's happening. All of a sudden, everything's happening, and we've got a problem controlling our agendas. I'll just throw this in very, very quickly, which will make your eyes light up.
I have got no problem with my gender, sir. I'll have you know.
Yep. No, my gender's fine.
Never confused.
I identify as the Raven.
You've got problems. First of all, you're not good looking enough for the start.
Well, I could shoot him down.
Look at my sword.
Him being a raven. I've just watched a lesbian film about a raven.
Oh,
yeah, I don't want to go on to that now. Anyway, as I was saying, there's been a big... Look at his face. There's been a big, big, massive poll out today. If Reform UK were not standing in the next general election, the result would be a hung parliament. Otherwise, it will be a Labour landslide. So the Tories are now saying that if you vote Reform, you get Labour. Well, let me just put a little spin on that, Mr. Landlord.
Go ahead, sir.
Don't forget, if you vote Reform, you get rid of the Tories.
Yes, you can look at it from that point of view. Right, well, chaps, we know that the Raven is not going to go to the bar.
So no, I'm not going to the bar because this
evening,
year I am
gentlemen.
Being super tight. I'm on a mission this year with lots of goals, including my little savings plan. I've got my little savings tin here.
Listen.
My little savings tin.
He just shook the tin and nothing happened.
It's
just like a little tinkle that he had earlier on.
So I'm saving up for a new bike this year. Oh. And a new special bike. Oh, so yeah. There you go.
Well, it's going to be a special bike for a special person.
Water and be done with it. Hey?
A special bike for a special person. Stat said that.
That's what Elaine says, actually.
It's got stabilizers on it.
It's what she tells us as well. Oh, he's special, that Steve.
Right.
Well, she
Steve,
says I'm very
right.
special. She rolls her eyes when she says it.
They said when he was at school, he said he was special.
Yeah.
And he was needy.
Right, okay, come on. Any shout-outs, shout-downs? Go ahead, Stats.
I'm disappointed. No one in Yemen likes the Flintstones, which is funny, because the people of Abu Dhabi do. Sorry about that.
That was
That's
bad.
The best one. That's the best one I could find on Yemen. No, you should hear the rest of them. That was the best of a bad bunch.
Okay, Gazelle, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, this is cashless society again. It keeps cropping up, this. If we're forced to go cashless, how do we tip the strippers?
Thought that'd be
No, yeah. And also, I mean, Can you believe it was only 4 years ago we couldn't find toilet paper? Remember that?
Yep.
Yes, yes.
And now we just can't afford it.
You know, that's a crap job, that one. That's a crap job.
Isn't it? It's crap.
Go on, Stevie. We're going to let you say something. Mute.
Yes.
Mute.
Well,
he's not been muted enough tonight, Mr. Landlord.
No, I'm not doing that anymore.
One more, he's gone. That,
I'm gone.
Mute. Wish we brought it to the vote. That's unanimous. He's gone.
That wasn't me. I didn't do it.
I'm not doing that again. And next time that happens, that's it. I'm gone. And to hell with you. And the long
can't miss an opportunity like this.
Yeah, we don't care.
So, my shout out.
I can't stand promises.
Get on with it. Actually, like speak louder than words. Come on.
He's like a Tory manifesto, isn't he? Shut your pie face, for goodness sake. So I get a word.
Don't let him talk to you like that, Gazelle.
It's you. Right. My shout out is a tremendous acknowledgement to all those very organised people who use diaries and wall planners, making for well-organised efficiency. I think those people are absolutely tremendous.
That's a dig at you, Gazelle. Thanks. That's a dig at you, Gazelle.
I've got a calendar on my wall. Just I've not written anything on it yet.
I've got my fabulous 2024 wall plan here. I've got my fabulous brand new Steve. 2024 diary I get every year from Ryman's or the stationery people available to Steve. Buy good quality.
Yeah. Well, I've got my OnlyFans calendar coming out next month.
Hey, so I've got it. I'm on a calendar. I've had a calendar done about me.
It didn't look that flattering, Steve.
It's my lad Chris. He's done this calendar. He does all these photoshops. He's done a whole year. Honestly, some of them are just wacky as hell. He sends them through to Elaine, and then she's just laughing her head off.
I wonder why. Well. Thank God that is
diaries
all over.
And wall planners, they're the thing.
Yes, of course they are, yeah. All right, hemorrhoids of the world, unite.
How do you remember to put stuff in them, though? Because that's a bit, I forget to write on the thing.
Well, you get a notification and you put it in your diary, then the thing is you put it on your wall planner where... At a glance, you can see your week and your month and your year ahead.
Well, that was tricky.
Something comes put it straight on there.
All right. How do we do that when you receive the message when you're out shopping and by the time you get home, you forget?
Because he takes the wall planner with him and he opens up in front of people in the shop and he just goes, take a look at my wall planner.
Stop the car on the motorway.
How much is that, love? It's £34. Oh, hang on, I've got a notification. Hang on,
dentist.
Fill me planner in.
Yeah. On a Sunday night, you look at the week ahead and you plan ahead and it works.
You know,
are you busy on a Sunday night?
Yeah, he is.
But if I get up in the morning, open the curtains. If I'm still alive, I carry on with the day. If I'm not, I don't bother.
Let's hope he never runs out of crayons and colouring books.
I know, yeah.
I've got there a whole series of
stuff eating them.
Well, okay. Obviously, it's been a pleasure for you, Steve, to be in such exalted company.
I wouldn't exactly go that far, to be quite honest. That's stretching it a bit.
Honestly, that's an insult to you, Gazelle. The way that man is talking to you tonight, that's unbelievable.
You can't insult me. I've got a cast iron head.
Well, there we go. From the Gazelle, say goodnight, sir.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen, and our listener. Thank you for listening.
Okay, and from Statsman, thanks very much for that Yemen story. That was good.
That's all right. I want to say goodbye and farewell to our lovely listener.
That's the one, the listener.
Yeah.
Okay, and because he tunes in to hear Steve get muted every week. That's what I've heard.
Well, that's
anyway.
Not happening anymore because I'll be gone. And by the way, I'm not saying goodnight. I'm going to say goodbye to all of my listeners, because I've got more than one, unlike you lot.
Oops, you got none now.
He's gone.
Opportunity not to be missed.
He followed through with his threat, which is great.
Oh, could we open a champagne now?
Is he going to come back on? He's going to miss out.